first person book, right?
Yeah.
Tell me about Lucy.
Okay, first person book. Lucy is 11 years old when we meet her. She's a cat lover. She's precocious. She's very bright. She's a little too sensitive, I think, for her own age. And she's becoming aware that her parents' marriage is falling apart, and things in the world are beginning to affect her in very strong ways, and sort of that luster and that magic that 11-year-olds sometimes have, sort of their sense of wonderment. That's still there, but what's encroaching on that is the adult world. And through the book, it's about 7 years in her life, she begins to discover herself, love, sexuality, friendship. She has a number of her own personal battles against the backdrop of her parents' marriage. Frank and Joy couldn't be more different, actually, and that comes out through the course of the book. Frank is a failed glamour photographer. He now works in a travel agency, and he considers a dead-end job, and he's disappointed, and a large part of him still lives in 1978 when he was, in his own mind, about to break the big time. Joy, Lucy's mom's an immigrant. She's from Bulgaria. She came to Canada with a big dream, like many people do, and it wasn't Canada that disappointed her, but she just didn't have the life that she planned on having. And we learn about why that was through the course of the book. Lucy loves her parents very much, but she has a sense early on that they might be better off on their own, except, here's the big but, she really wants to be a family, and she's willing to overlook her parents' differences and do everything she can to keep them together.
And it's complicated because there is another woman involved.
Mm-hmm. Fortunately, most kids don't have the opportunity to meet their the other woman, or their father's lovers. Lucy does. This woman named Crashing Wave, and she's a former exotic dancer, and she and Frank meet at Frank's AA meetings. Lucy, when she meets Crashing Wave for the first time, doesn't know this is her father's lover, but she's fascinated by this woman. Like, this woman is the epitome of everything graceful and feminine and luxurious and beautiful. She's like the women on the hair dye boxes in the drugstore, okay? She's got mountains of hair. She's got sparkling everything. Compared to Lucy's mother, Joy, she's like a gem doll. She's like a Barbie doll. And Lucy's fascinated with her. And when she finds out who this woman is, feelings get complicated.
What is it with girls and frenemies? Someone gave me that word not too long ago.
I never heard that word before.
Yeah, because girls seem to do that, where it's like you have a best friend who also sends the most horrible, icky things, or you're sort of thrown together and have to act as friends. For her, it's Diana?
Diana, yeah. Frenemies, I think, is a really good word for it. At once, Lucy is drawn to Diana. I wouldn't say it's a girl crush, because there's too much animosity there, but Diana's kind of the girl with, like, the bouncy ponytail. She has it all, and Lucy sort of wants it, but she kind of hates herself for wanting that. It's like that push and pull, like, you know you'll never be this kind of person. You're still in that moment in your life, like pre-adolescence, where you think, I probably should try at least. You know, by 16, you know that you can't become that person even if you want. Diana represents everything that Lucy thinks maybe she ought to be. At the same time, she knows, you know, I'm not going to be one of these, like, girls with, like, a little chiclet nose and, like, really, like, cute strawberry shortcake laugh. Like, it's not going to be like that. She hopes. She resents her.
I'm going to ask the tacky question that you always have to ask first-time novelist. Yeah, you know the one that's coming.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I am definitely not Lucy Bloom. She has so many characteristics that I don't have. I didn't go through that long period of social isolation like she did. I was always very aware of people around me in my class who did, and very sympathetic to them. I remember a girl in the third grade being teased because she went to the food bank, and, like, that memory is, like, emblazoned into my mind. Like, I just prickled up everywhere, and through my life, I have always wanted to fight and to represent the underdog. I'm not interested in popularity or what is generally accepted. So I knew that I wanted to create a narrator and a character who would struggle but who had the tenacity and the conviction and the self-possession to get herself through this shit, because she goes through a lot of it. Lucy's world, I do know a bit about. I'm Jewish. I'm a first-generation Canadian. I grew up in Toronto. So the setting, the kind of the general atmosphere, you know, Bathurst Street, I've driven up a million times. That street occurs through the book. I don't know what it's like to have a frenemy, but I know what it's like to be jealous of girls. I know what it's like to feel outside. I know what it's like to feel hopeful and not get what you want. These are the kind of universal experiences that I could sort of export to Lucy. So it's not an autobiography at all.
The book is Where We Have to Go. It's a novel, first-time novel. I'm speaking to the novelist Lauren Kirshner, and Where We Have to Go, published by McCollum & Stewart. It's an Emblem book.